This chazar zeichen nechob bachachetz v'shvag v'mi yehudim zechetz b'am etziya daf lamed zayin zok the mishnah. If a gazan tells two people, I stole a money from you, but I don't remember from who, or if a person tells two people, the father of one of you gave me a money to watch, but I don't remember whose father it was, he should give a money to each of them because he admits to the claim. The mishnah continues. If two people gave money to a shomer, one gave a money, the other gave two money, and they each then claim that they're the one who gave the two money. He should give one money to each of them, and the remaining money should be put away until the yahu comes and tells us who the true owner is. Rabbi Yossi says, if each person gets back a money, then the one who's making the false claim stands to lose nothing at all. Rather, all three mana are put away until the yahu comes. Misha says, the same would be if two people each gave a keli to a shomer, one worth a mana and one worth 10 mana. They each claim to have given the one worth 10 mana. The shomer should give the cheaper keli to one of them and take a piece worth of mana of the other keli and give it to the other one, and the remainder should be put away until the yahu comes. Rabbi Yossi said, no. If each person gets back a mana, then the one who's making the false claim stands to lose nothing at all. Rather, both kelim are put away until the yahu comes. The first case of the Mishnah teaches that in the case of doubt, we make the person pay all the claims, and we don't say that he should hold on to the money until the yahu comes. However, in the next case of the Mishnah, next two cases of the Mishnah, we are taught that he doesn't have to pay all claims when there's doubt. Instead, the money is put away until the yahu can clarify the doubt for us. It seems to be stira. The first case is one of stealing, and the Rabbanan therefore penalized the thief and made him pay all claims. The later cases are cases of deposit. In that case, no isser was done, and the Rabbanan therefore do not penalize the shomer. In fact, there seems to be a contradiction between the two cases of deposit. And there seems to be a contradiction between two cases of stealing. With regard to the case of deposits, the beginning of the Mishnah gives the case of someone who is unsure whose father deposited the money with him, and the Mishnah says that he must give back the money to each of them, and yet the later part of the Mishnah says that we put the money away until the yahu comes to clarify for us. So Rava said the first case is discussing where only one person actually gave a deposit. Therefore, the shomer should have paid more attention to remember who it was that gave him the deposit. The later case is discussing where two people gave him deposits at the same time. He can therefore tell them, listen, you obviously were not particular about giving the money at the same time, and you're afraid that you're going to create confusion. And therefore, I also didn't have to be particular about who was giving me what. Based on that, he's considered not to be negligent. In fact, with regard to the cases of stealing, our mission says he has to give back the money to all the people that claim he stole from them. However, there's another mission that says, the Rebbe Tarfon says, if someone stole from one of five people and they all claim that it was them who was stolen from, the ganav just has to place the money down and walk away. Bryce on that mission says, the Rebbe Tarfon would agree that in the case of our Mishnah, he would have to pay back to each person. This is contradictory. And for the Gemara, the other Mishnah is giving that lock in the case. He only has to pay back the one who was stolen from, and not everybody. Therefore, he can just leave the money and walk away. Our Mishnah is discussing a person who wants to be Yoytzi Midei Shemayim. To do this, he has to pay back each and every person, even though he truly only stole from one of them. In fact, the words of the Mishnah say, because he admits to the claim, suggests that this is someone who's looking to fulfill a b'yoytz b'day shemayim, not just a strict halacha. Frek the Gemara, in the Mishnah, with the one who stole from one of five people and each of them sue for the money, what's the ganav's response? Rabbi Yehuda named Rav said, the ganav remains quiet. Rav Masna named Rav said that he tells each one of them he doesn't recognize him. According to Rav Masna, if he would remain quiet, that would be an admission of guilt to all of them. Rabbi Yehuda would say that it would not be an admission because he can explain and say that the reason he remained quiet is because he knows that he does owe the money to one of them. Fact the Gemara, Rav Tarfon said in the Mishnah, he places a stolen item between them and he walks away. We have learned that Rav Adar Bar Zavda, in the name of Rav, said, if someone sees something that may or may not have been left there intentionally, he should not take it. But if he did take it, he should not return it to anybody. We see that one is to keep an item until he knows who the rightful owner is. So how could Rav Tarfon say he just places the money over there and walks away? Rav Safra said, the Mishnah says when it says that he places the money there, it means he places it in Bezdin to see if any that people can prove that they're the rightful owner. Flech de Gemara, the end of the Mishnah says that Rabbi Akiva said that leaving the money and walking away is not the way one removes himself from the Avera. Rather, he has to pay back each and every claimant. This shows that he holds that we do take money from somebody in a case of doubt. Now, there's another mission that says if a house fell on a woman and her son, and we don't know who died first, and the Yorushim of the son say that the mother died first, and therefore they're entitled to the assets of the mother that were inherited by the son before his death, and the Yorushim of the mother say, no, it was the son who died first, and therefore they're entitled to the assets of the mother, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would agree that they divide the assets. Rabbi Akiva said, I would agree in this case that the money stays by the one who has it. Now, this contradicts his view and the other Mishnah, and for Tigmar, Rava answered to Abaye, in the case of the second Mishnah, everyone only claims that it's possibly theirs, and therefore the money stays where it is. In the case of the Ganef, each claimant says that it's certainly theirs. He claims with certainty that the money belongs to him, and that's why he has to give back to each and every person. In fact, our Mishnah is where he stole from one of two people, and each claims that it was possibly stolen from him, and yet the Mishnah says he has to pay back each and every one. And a Bryce on this Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon agrees that in this case he would have to pay back each and every person. Presumably he agrees, meaning who does he agree to? It's Rabbi Akiva, who's the one he argued with on this topic, which proves that our Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Akiva. Also, the verbiage of the Mishnah and a braisa of Rabbi Chiya says that the Mishnah is talking about where the claimants do not come with a claim of certainty. If so, why does Rabbi Akiva in this case say that he has to pay back every person? And for the Gemara, we have to say that the Mishnah is discussing a person who is looking to fulfill V'yoyt B'day Shemayim, and that's why he should pay each of these people. For the Gemara, we said above that Rava said if two people each give a deposit to a Shomer at different times, he's expected to pay attention and know who he's taking it from. Now, Ravina asks Ravashi, we find that Rava says that all would agree that if a shepherd has two animals from two people and he doesn't remember which belongs to which person, he puts the animal between them and walks away. And for the Gemara, Ravashi said that case is where the owners put their animals into the shepherd's herd without the shepherd's knowledge. That's why he's not expected to know to which it belongs to. The Mishnah then said, V'chen shnei kelim echad yofa mana v'chulu. The Gemara explains that both cases, the case of the deposit of money and the case of the deposit of kelim, are necessary. If we only have the case taught with the money, we would say that in that case, the Rabbanan say that each person gets the amount that they're surely entitled to, because money can be divided without losing its value. However, in the case of the kelim, where the more expensive kelim has to be broken, maybe they would agree to Rabbi Yossi. If we don't have the case of the kelim, we'd say Rabbi Yossi holds that way in that case, because breaking the kelim causes a loss. But in the case of the money, maybe we'd agree with the Rabbanan. That's why both cases are needed. Rabbi Yossi explained his reasoning. He said to assure that the lawyer stands to lose something as well, so we would know that he holds that way regarding money as well. And for the Gemara, it must be that both cases were written for the view of the Rabbanan, and the Mishnah should be understood as having been written in the style of Loizu Avzu.